Hey, welcome everybody. It's time again for a special edition of Health Talks with Dr. Trin. The one show, maybe the only show, that shows you a path to a healthier life. With the man who's been running on a healthy path for many years, Dr. Trin. Welcome, sir.
Hello, we are in studio.
For the first time ever.
Well, pandemic, right?
Yeah, exactly. Post-pandemic.
So it's good. It's good. Just hanging out here in the studio and coming back to kind of real life here with that. And I have a special guest today.
And you didn't even see how I seamlessly set it up. Running on a path to health. Running towards a healthier life. That's what I said in the introduction.
Oh, and as usual, I'm looking at my cell phone, and we are online, running from L.A. to Washington, D.C.
So who'd you bring with you?
Oh, my word. He is my idol. Stan is in the Guinness Book of World Record.
He is? For what?
Record holder. And so let's just say that he outruns Forrest Gump.
I remember Forrest Gump. Go ahead.
And the Ever-Ready Bunny. I've outrun that one, too.
Both of them,
Or the Ever-Ready Battery and the Ever-Ready Bunny or whatever they were.
The bunny powered by the battery.
There you go.
So have you got a battery pack? So what does Stan do? All right, we've hinted at it. We've teased at it. Why is Stan in the Guinness Book of World Records? What is it that Stan just looks like a regular guy. What does he do that's so incredible?
I'm so glad you asked that question. I've been running 73 years. I'll be 78 May the 7th, and I'm getting ready to run across the United States 30 miles a day for 100 consecutive days.
But the whole country? Wait a minute. You're going to run the whole stinking country?
Yeah. This will be the third time. Third time's charm.
Wow.
You'd think I had better sense. No, I know what lies ahead, and I know the challenges, but this is such a special, special moment.
So,
Dr. Trin, I was telling Dr. Trin on the way in here, I said, there's just something about this run. And I've run across 40 different countries.
Wow.
Wow.
And I've run over 266,000 miles. And that first time I ran across the U.S., I broke the world record by 5 days. I averaged 66 miles a day. But talking about health, Dr. Trin, my parents have gotten on to me. That's Mother Nature and Father Time.
Yes.
That was 40 years ago. So this is a different body. I'm a 78-year-old body versus a 38-year-old body or whatever it was that when the first time I went. But you know, it's regardless of the season of life, we're mandated to take care of this body, treat it well, and get some exercise. You don't have to run 30 miles a day. But
No, I don't think so.
I can barely walk 30 feet to the fridge.
I have those days.
Yeah. Wow.
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 All right. So can I ask a couple of questions and I'll let Dr. Trin jump in here. Let's get the basics out of the way. Why do you keep running across the country? You running away from something or towards something?
No, I tell you, a long time ago, I discovered the secret principle to living a successful life. And drum roll, please.
No, I was looking for, I was trying to find the drum roll there. I'll find it.
Discover what you do well and do more of it. Every one of us in this room, you look at it somewhere in our lives. There's an aptitude. There is a leaning toward. Call it a spiritual leaning or an emotional leaning or a philosophical leaning, but inside every person is a seed that's just waiting to be planted. In every person, greatness lies within them. I discovered a long time ago I could run and run long distances. Never in my wildest imagination would I have ever dreamed that the running would lead to become a friendship-type ambassador, bringing people together. Through the running, through the activities, I've seen walls break down that divide one nation from another. But Dr. Trin, in my great radio man there, the thing is...
You're the great radio man. I'm just the engineer.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And bless your heart, sir, as we say in Georgia. But the walls that divide one human heart from another. It's been said the strangers and enemies of our world are often synonymous. We fear what we don't understand.
Oh,
and we all deal with the same themes. We all go through the parade of the seasons. We're all created from the same clay. Ta-da! Dr. Trin, go, baby.
Wow.
Wow. So how did you meet this guy?
Oh, my.
It was ordained, wasn't it?
Did you run into each other?
It was ordained. I was just running from responsibility and, you know, jumping to conclusions. And,
I like
and
this.
And so, yeah, so Stan is running for a number of nonprofit charities. And so
you do this to raise money. People support you, and the longer you run, the more they donate.
Yes.
Right?
And so Tongue Out, which is the organization that I founded, is a designated charity with Stan's Run, along with veterans groups multiple other large organizations with that. And so we have common friends. And Stan was telling me about your run in Vietnam.
Yeah.
And how you created some bonding and relationships. Tell us about that.
Well, thank you. When I ran across Vietnam, I was very amazed how quickly the Vietnamese people and the officials responded to me, because I'd run the Great Wall of China. It took me 5 years to get the permission to run China.
Wow.
I sent a telex every night. Some people may know what a telex is, but I sent a telex every night to Deng Xiaoping. Dear Honorable Deng Xiaoping, I'm an American distance citizen, a runner, and I think running across China would be a great thing to promote the spirit of friendship. I had no idea what I was talking about at that time, but the seed was there, and friendship was the key. And I was in Paris, and the Vietnamese embassy was right down the street, and I went and knocked on the door. Hi, I'm an American distance runner. I've recently run the Great Wall of China. I would like to run across Vietnam, thinking, that never hear from them again.
Right.
2 weeks later, can you be here in 3 weeks to run across Vietnam? And it was wonderful. I ran from Hanoi to Da Nang. Then this was in 1991.
Wow.
This was before normalization.
Yes.
I mean, there had been a 20 years, nothing, no diplomatic relations or anything.
Right.
And here's a little old hayseed me. And they greeted me like I was some kind of a diplomat, and I got to be good friends with the Minister of Justice, Phuong Hien, and he was the chief negotiator at the Paris Peace Talks. And I told some people I'd like to see some Head Daddy Rabbit. I think it'd be good. And they said, Head Daddy Rabbit? I was only supposed to meet him for 10 minutes.
Right.
Ended up almost 3 days. He started, as a result of that meeting, the Vietnam-USA Friendship Association. And a year later, I might miss it a month or so, but the normalization took place as a result of that.
I love it. See what running can do. One man to make such a difference between countries. Thank you so much.
Well, you're a kind man.
As a Vietnamese refugee boy myself, rescued on a Chinook helicopter and seeing the ravages of war.
You were there?
I was there as a young kid. And to see your work and the relationships between countries and the friendships that have developed because of what you've done, we really appreciate that with that. Amazing.
You make me get goosebumps. Jeez, I call them Jesus bumps all over myself.
Yes, yes. So, Stan, what do you do as you're planning a run? Was it 100 days, a little bit more than 100 days to go across country?
30 miles per day.
Okay.
And the first time when I set the world record, it was 3,103 miles.
Right.
But it's, you know, give or take a day or two here, but we'll make it work.
So maybe
some days I'll have to run 32 miles, you know, to make an adjustment so that we can do that.
So what do you have to eat to maintain your physical health as you're running? I mean, are you snacking on stuff as you're running? Do you have water bottles? Or is there a...
Pork barbecue does wonders for me. Joke. Oh, my gosh. No, I was telling Dr. Jay over here coming in, I said, you know, I like my oatmeal in the morning. I'm very fuel efficient.
Yes.
They don't know what part's acquired, what part's hereditary, but I can go 3 times longer on a calorie than the average person. And then I like to chop up some fruit salad when I take a break, some nice honey, and then hydrate often. That can get me through a day.
So you are essentially running more than a marathon a day.
You're brilliant. That's why you're a doctor.
I can do a digital exam. But anyway, never mind. So anyway,
Lord.
Yes. Wow.
The thing is, the fuel you put into your body.
Right.
If you put in low-octane fuel, your motor's going to knock.
Yes.
But the 5 leading causes of disease in the United States is what we do to ourselves. If we put in low-octane fuel, our motor's going to knock. And I ask myself every time I put food in my mouth, is this for nutrition or is it for recreation? 90% of the time, I choose nutrition.
Wow.
And I'm getting ready to have a hamburger because I'm here in California and I'm going to that In-N-Out thing when we finish. So if you happen to be there, didn't I just hear you on the radio? Yes, you did. And I'm going to, we just don't get these things in Georgia.
Yes. I mean, normally I look down on hamburgers, but the exception is In-N-Out. It's physician approved.
God love you.
Yes. And you need chopped jalapenos in it.
Oh, no.
No?
No.
Oh, that doesn't help with the run, huh? Maybe there a different type of run.
Different
anyway.
Kind of run. Yeah, oh, yeah. Boy. Oh, boy. I need one of those little drum rolls.
Yeah, right.
I'll find one here. Okay.
But as you well know, Dr. Sir, that it's what the kind of fuel we put into our bodies, keeping ourselves hydrated. And the fact that I've run over 266,000 miles, it's not that I'm some anomaly or anything. I love to look at this as how uniquely and marvelously made the human family is. I'm just another example of the uniqueness and the divinity and the power of what the human body, and we haven't even scratched the surface yet on potential.
Not at all. We were uniquely created.
So can I go back a little bit? Let's rewind this a little bit. I'm still trying to wrap my head around this. You're 78? Is that what you're...
Be 78 Friday.
Friday.
Right. And you started running when you were five, if I did the math right here?
Yes, sir.
And did you run in school? Were you on the track team? Did you run professionally? Did you join marathons? How did this start to manifest itself in your early youth? How did you discover this is what you love to do and are born to do?
I was 5 years old, and literally, I was born and raised in backwoods Kentucky. I mean, very rural, very poverty Kentucky. And you'll see on the website, WLOC Radio, I come from that area. I was one of those children that lived in poverty. We didn't have running water. I mean, we had an outdoor toilet. We didn't have electricity, all that kind of stuff. Daddy would send me out early every morning, 5 years old. Seemed like those old cows were a mile and way back, and I'd fetch in, run the cattle home. And then when I was six, Daddy put me under an old cow and said, start milking. And I did. And I would miss the school bus. Honest to goodness, I missed the school bus three mornings out of every five. And here I'm a little six-year-old boy. And he said, can't get your chores done. You might as well just start hoofing it on to school. And I would run almost 6 miles to school. Now, when I was 7 years old, I chased a rabbit one time for 5 hours and caught it.
You chased a rabbit for 5 hours?
I did.
Wow. Did you catch it?
I did.
Rabbit stew?
I didn't do that, no.
Oh, okay.
That poor little thing, it just sat there and its little heart was just a beating up a storm when I picked it up.
For 5 minutes, he thought you'd chase one, not 5 hours.
And my fame started spreading throughout them hills and hollers of Kentucky.
Yeah.
When I was 12 years old, smallest boy in my class, 4'9", 70 pounds.
Wow.
And somebody said, we need to have us a 100-yard dash today. And I lined up with everybody, and they said, ready, set, go. And I won the blue ribbon. I beat adults. I beat everybody. And
nice.
Some social worker there in the county said, walked up to me, and he said, you know, you sure are little. But them little legs sure can't fly. He said, boy, someday you might just grow up to be a champion. I said, what is a champion? And at that time, you don't dip snuff, you don't chew tobacco, you don't get liquored up, things like
that. Or go with girls that do, right.
Oh, you're good. Well. You are good. But anyway, it started like that. And the running in 1961, I received a letter in the mail. This college was getting ready to start a cross-country team, and my fame had spread as that barefoot boy runner from Kentucky, and I received a letter offering me a one-semester partial probationary scholarship worth $60. Took the letter, and my high school principal told me, he said, you got to be smart to go to college, get those notions out of your head, go join the Army, get that over with.
Yeah.
He said, if you try to do anything else, he said, you're going to make a fool out of yourself, and he said, let's face it. If I say the term outhouse, do you know what an outhouse
is? It's a bathroom outside of the house.
Yeah.
And around an old outhouse, all you had is a bunch of old rats every once in a while. And he said, you're dumber than an outhouse rat.
Wow.
And that was my career counseling.
Wow.
Whoever's listening, anybody that tells you you can't succeed, anybody that tells you you aren't tall enough, you aren't pretty enough, you aren't smart enough, that is a lie straight from the pits of hell. You renounce that. You rebuke that. You say, get out of here, you crazy fiend. You just don't know the power that's in me.
Right.
And I am a unique, divinely made person with a unique mission.
So
and I'm not here by accident.
What did you do?
Should have been a preacher.
I'm telling you. We're trying to get you off the pulpit here. So did you, go to the Army or did you go to school?
I went to school, and 5 years later, I had four majors, and I graduated, lordy, lordy, from Western Kentucky University. Lordy, lordy,
and
that boy graduated.
Did you run for the school, or did you
run
competition?
But here was the other thing. 2 miles was the longest they had.
Right.
I knew I could run more.
Yes.
In 1964, I was the first Southerner to run the Boston Marathon.
Wow.
There were 310 of us that started.
Wow.
There wasn't such a thing as marathons in the South. And I'd go running, and the police would
pick me up.
Except
for the moonshiners trying to get away from the cops.
But listen, when I was 15, I was one of the best moonshine makers in that park.
Really?
I could make it as good as any of those older people because they learned me to do that.
And carry it and run. All right, so now you're doing marathons, and it's getting serious. A marathon's what? How many miles is it?
26.2.
26. Let me look it up.
All right, so
26.2.
He knows. All right, so now you're in 26 miles, and this is without any professional training. You just had this God-given gift and the determination to do it.
And I just knew that I could.
How did you do when you came in? Were you competitive?
I hitchhiked to Boston, Massachusetts. The first 200 miles, I rode on top of a cucumber truck going to a pickle factory.
Really?
And I had on a pair of cutoffs. I didn't know anything about weather or weather patterns. It was just warm there where I was, and there's snowstorms. And here I'm standing out on the New York something up there and hitchhiking, and the snow was pouring down. I had on a little old pair of cutoff shorts and a pair of track shoes and a T-shirt.
Right.
Such determination to get there. Wow. All right, so how did you do in the marathon?
At that particular time, I finished, I think it was 90th out of 310. They said largest marathon field, but guess what? I had 103 temperature and tonsillitis. My throat was closed and big old blisters on it and all that stuff. So I thought I did right well,
for that. Sounds okay by me. All right, so now how old are you? Now let's just jump forward a few years. Did you do more marathons? How did you get going farther and farther, just deciding you're going to go more than 20 miles? You could do 20 miles a day.
I knew I could go further and further. In 1966, I decided to run across Kentucky.
Wow.
And that was 146 miles.
And everybody said what? What did your parents say, your friends say?
Everybody thought I was titched in the head.
Yes, exactly.
And they said, that boy's done plumb lost it.
Yeah.
And then in 1978, I ran 405 miles in 5 days. I ran from the Chattanooga, Tennessee to the Florida line.
I don't remember people doing that in those days.
None.
I don't remember stories of, another guy runs across the state.
No, not at all. Then in 1979, I ran for 24 hours and did 167.25 miles and broke the record by 6 miles on that thing. En route on that thing, I set the American record for a 100-mile run in 13 hours and 17 minutes.
Now, I got to ask you, because I'm trying to get through this story here before Dr. Trin comes up and comes in some more here. So now you're running crazy distances, unorganized distances. It's you against the state. It's you against the world saying it can't be done. You're out there alone, I got to believe. There's no parade following you. There's nobody paying attention to this crazy guy because it can't be done, right? It's just you out on the road.
The thing that amazed me, and this was the evolution. These are the steps.
Right.
People heard I was coming through, and there would be tailgate parties. People just, let's see this crazy man come through.
Nice. So you weren't doing this anonymous. That's what I was getting at. Were you just out there a lonely journey because nobody knew you yet then, or even then they were hearing about it?
Even then, the fame of what I was doing was spreading.
Yeah, right.
It was like when I ran across China. Over 100,000 people a day came out and waited for me because they had never seen a foreigner. Well, in the backwoods China, legend had passed it down that the foreigner had made it with dogs, and they came out to see what a half dog and a half human looked like. And it was almost the same thing.
So again, I'm trying to get to this point where you're starting to run crazy long distances.
Now,
how do you live? How do you eat? How do you survive a road by yourself in the middle of nowhere?
Well, my support team back in those days, I had a friend that had a little old Volkswagen Beetle, and we had a cooler.
Nice.
In the car.
So they followed you.
Yeah.
Ah.
And I mean, I've got all these pictures. I mean, and I cannot tell you. And this was coming to where Stan, the dying of Stan. The arrogant, self-seeking, just whatever. And I ran across the United States, set the world record. 6 months later, it didn't work out. And so the thing that dawned on me is, I mean, let's just call it a spiritual awakening, that this gift of being able to run these distances, there's a responsibility.
Right.
It's not just for you and for your fame and to make you show what you can do. At some point, you're gone beyond proving to that guidance counselor that you're not a rat, that you're somebody. And now, what am I going to do with this beyond just set records here?
And I've now run across 40 different countries promoting the spirit of friendship, because friendship is the rarest commodity on this earth.
Yes.
It means a coming together in thought, heart, and spirit. The enemies and strangers of our world are often synonymous. We fear what we don't understand. I remember meeting my first communist in China.
What was that like?
I said, "You're a communist." And this man said to me, "If I am, does that mean we can't be a friend?"
Mm.
And I said, "You can be anything you want to. I said there's value in us being able to exchange our thoughts or ideas, and how similar we all are. It's amazing.
So now, how do you live? How do you get day by day? How do you pay the bills? Where do you, you know, in between these incredible things? I can't believe there's a big, you don't become a multimillionaire running across these countries.
I think you can run from the bills.
Maybe you can.
Bills come in, I'm out of here.
I'll tell you right? the wildest outcome, something I never expected. And I had a teacher in college. I took a speech class.
Right.
At the end of the semester, the teacher called me in and said, Mr. Cottrell, you know you never successfully gave a speech during your entire semester. I said, yes, ma'am, I did have a right hard time at that stuff. And she said, ordinarily, I would give you an F. But she said, there's just something that I cannot bring myself to do. Mm. You're never going to graduate from college. You're never going to be this. You're never going to be that. And she said, I'm going to give you a C out of the goodness of my heart.
Wow.
She said, Mr. Cottrell, watching you try to give a speech has been the most psychopathological thing I've ever witnessed today.
Wow.
More career counseling.
Yeah. All right, but so again, now you've found this gift and you're doing amazing things with it and people are starting to pay attention. But this doesn't pay the bills. You got to have a job, don't you?
This is what is wild about all this. I mean, people started asking me to come to speak.
Okay.
And I mean, it's one of the most amazing things. People will pay you to come to speak.
Yes.
And I mean, I bet I made 1,000 of these rotary speeches.
Yeah,
and I've got all these little things,
speeches,
the four-way test. They give you they give you food, and they give you a little thing thanking you. So I paid my dues there. And then the next thing I know, I've probably made over 2,000 corporate speeches.
Wow.
Keynote speaker for these national conventions. And I mean, little old hayseed me.
I love it.
And then, well,
you all are going to love this next story. It's a humdinger, baby. And
like the others haven't been humdingers, but go ahead.
I was invited to be on the board of directors of this college where I graduated from.
No.
Wow.
This is what is wild for a 4-year stint on the board of directors. Well, they were showcasing me. Now I have a PhD. I go on, baby.
So they gave you an honorary PhD.
No, these are no honorary things.
The real
I worked my little butt off for those things.
Okay.
Oh, you
and
got
my
the
master's
one.
Degree. And I got the real one, honey.
Wow.
And what did you study? What's your degree in?
Now, I'll tell you all that stuff in a minute. One's behavioral psychology. They're showcasing me the new member of the board of directors. And this speech teacher is now the head of the English department. And they're showcasing me to all the different department heads. She walks in the door and she drops her head and says, oh, my God, no.
It's there.
No. And I said, would you all excuse me? Dr. Katz and I, we go way back.
Yes.
She started crying out in the hallway. And I said, Dr. Katz, you know, I said, the things you said about me, I said, it was right. I probably was a psychopathological spectacle. And I started telling her all the things that I was doing to help.
Right.
And I said, right now, I've given over 2,000 speeches. And I said, every time I speak, I think of you. And I say, thank you, especially when they give me the paycheck. I said, can I have a hug? I love you for the influence you were in my life.
Look at that. So now you're making a living because you've done something so incredible. You found a way to make a living telling stories about this and sharing this. And people are amazed and they're inspired by it. And corporations are hiring you and your old college brings you back. Now, when does it get really big? When do you got to go across the country in China and other things? Talk about that. How do you go to that level? Because that seems impossible level. I can see running for a day or two. I can't see running across the country. That seems
I love you, sir. I want to hire you to go.
But spin the tail.
There are four key points in what I'm about.
Okay.
Visualize, vocalize, energize, realize.
Wow.
Everything starts with the dreams that you have. And, sir, we're here today as a result of the dreams that we have. I don't dream $42 dreams. I dream bodacious, outrageous, just booger bear wild and woolly dreams.
Booger bear wild. That's my new way of describing them.
Everything begins with the dream. My daddy, when he met my mama, you know the first thing he said to her? He said, how would you like to be buried in the Cottrell family cemetery? My daddy was a man of great vision. And
That's one way to bring him into the fold.
In 9 months and 20 minutes later, I was the result of that marriage.
That's amazing.
Now,
they didn't waste time.
Everything, as the mind flows, the body goes. And my mind began to go from the dream to the vocalize. Life or death is in the power of the tongue.
Yes.
And I started telling.
What do you mean by telling people? Once you put it out there, you got to do it?
I'm talking about tongue speaking. But life or death is in the power of the tongue. And it's sharing the dream. Now, a lot of people dream, and a lot of people will talk about things, and they'll say, someday I'm going to.
Yeah.
The third important stage is putting yourself in a position for a victory to take place, and that's to energize. Write a letter. Make a phone call. No matter what I ask, somebody is either going to say yes, no, or ignore me.
Wait.
And then the fourth thing is, there is not a day of my life that I don't have a victory. And it's all because I plant seeds today, and I also reap the harvest today.
Wow. I love it.
So, Dr. Trin, you've been saying wow a lot here.
When you met this guy,
did you think he was a bit crazy? Did you buy this vision, or did it hit you right away? Or did it take a while to wrap your head around this?
I can barely run a football field.
Yeah,
and Stan's running across the country. And so as a physician who have studied exercise and physiology, he's like the ideal.
But isn't this, I would think it would defy what your training. Your training says the human body has limits to it. You can only push the body so far.
Obviously, the limit isn't the United States.
No. But if I had told you before you met Stan, hey, Dr. Trin, I really want to start running. I'm really good at running. I've run marathons. I've even run multiple days. I now want to run a country. I want to run China. I want to run the U.S. I want to run 40 countries here. Wouldn't at some point say, Paul, come on, your body... That's like saying you want to fly to the moon. There's just certain things you can't do.
I would say, Paul, I'll run behind you with my CPR pads.
Yeah, ready to.
Just in case.
Yeah.
And so, this is amazing. This is just amazing. And we want to follow your path as you're running.
When do you go? Before you tell us that, you've done it twice. Just give me a quick summary of what do you do? Do you run parallel to a freeway? Do you run up and down little streets? Do you go Route 66 and meander around? Do you just go across the 10 freeway and run on the side of the freeway? How do you go across the country?
That's great. And the easiest part of this is what I'm doing. The running part is easy. It's the choreography. This course has been a result of our studying maps and Google Earth and you name it, pig path and every other kind of thing. And you never get on an interstate. And sometimes the vans have to go way around and you're running on a little bitty narrow, just little dirt road, especially here in California. I mean, it's
because there are two. I'm fascinated by there are two freeways that do run coast to coast. Most Americans don't know it. The 10, which starts in Santa Monica and ends in Jacksonville, Florida. And the 80 that starts in downtown San Francisco and ends in downtown Boston.
Yes,
but you're not allowed to walk or bike or run on a freeway.
No. Yeah.
So that'd be easy. It's a straight path. Even if it's running on the side, it's relatively safe and straight and steady. But you're not allowed to do that. So other than that, I don't know how I'd get across the country. I don't know how I'd find a path. There's the old Route 66 that has some of it's there and some of it's not, that meandered to Chicago, and some of it's still in existence. But I don't know how I'd find a way across the country if it wasn't on a freeway.
Well, they're there, the little paths and little county roads and little state roads. And
you got to connect a lot of them.
Yes, you do. And there's the choreography because you have to work with all the local police departments.
Yeah, they're not happy about it.
All the permissions, and you just don't come flying through.
Now, Stan, as you're running, you're going to be wearing a suit and some devices that's going to measure all your vitals and different things.
Oh, okay.
Dick Tracy back in the 50s in the comic books, I mean, they were so far visionary, so far ahead. And I mean, just
wrist radios,
a little watch on your wrist. It tells everything. You've got a laboratory.
Yes.
And that'll
diagnostic laboratory.
Do your heartbeat and other sorts of things, and your pulse and everything.
AmnioFit. So this measures a number of things. So you wear this as you run.
Yes, sir.
And we can tell your vital signs as you're running.
Absolutely.
And this is something that...
And does this connect to the internet so they can track other people back at your command center, can track you and see how you're doing?
It is connected to like the cell phone, and it has all your data. Oh my gosh, it's telling me I have fever. I'm a hot guy. But anyway, never mind.
Explore this. So now, is this a sponsor of yours, or is this somebody who... So they're sponsoring. What's the name of the company again? Let's give them a shout out.
It says AmnioFit. This is awesome.
And they're doing this to showcase their product, and their product connects to a smartphone.
So it's a smartphone.
It's somehow through your skin measures what is it?
Let me see. Heart rate, distance, temperature, calories.
Just have them speak up a little louder. We got somebody sitting in the room that knows.
Pulse ox, heart rate, sleep, activities,
And are you with it?
It lets you, it lets you also know how, when you're in that deep, deep sleep and how long you were in that deep, deep sleep and shallow sleeping.
And somehow this does this without an intrusive. There's nothing, it's not measuring my blood. It's somehow coming through my skin measuring all this. Right?
And
come on over here for 1 second. Just come on, walk over. We won't see on camera, but talk into my microphone here because this is fascinating. Introduce yourself and tell us who you are and why you're sponsoring this guy.
So I'm the CEO.
Let's get you really close here.
Okay. So I'm the CEO. I'm Dr. Jay LaMarca. So I am the CEO of 247 Health Solution.
Okay.
We are the parent company. And the RPM solution, which is what they're talking about right there, the RPM solution is a very comprehensive solution that is completely non-invasive.
Uh-huh.
It connects to the cell phone. The cell phone app then speaks to our AWS cloud.
Wow.
And from there, the physicians and clinicians have a dashboard that they get to view all of these information throughout the entire day.
This has been the holy grail for old people, for other people who can't get to a doctor. Because I had an aunt and she was living alone and she was old and frail and we were always fearful. And she had cancer and other problems and stuff. And everybody monitored her. She had no children, but everybody monitored her. Wished we could somehow check her health other than calling her because she'd say, I'm fine.
That's exactly right.
And you're not fine. Your blood sugar's down. Your heartbeat's down. You're something. Well, we didn't know. She didn't. We didn't ever strapped, and we didn't have any connection to. She died a number of years ago.
So our goal as a company is to help people to take control of their health.
Yeah.
And when you wear a device like this, which we supply, by the way, at no cost to the patient, the small changes that we are able to teach people to do in beginning with awareness allow them to have many less visits to urgent care, emergency room, and
catastrophic
events.
Absolutely. You don't wait until it's a critical thing. You catch it early on and you can adjust. So Dr. Trin, we're going to stand for 1 second here. We got to bring you back and have a whole nother discussion of this because telemedicine's coming, folks.
Yes.
And I don't know whether the world is going to embrace it or run from it. But it seems like it has, because we think of his big brother and I'm being monitored and I'm scared. But at the same time, what a liberating thing. I now can monitor my own health and get records and look at charts and see it over time.
Exactly
and
right.
People I'm worried about far away, old parents, old relatives who are living alone, I don't have to worry. Did they fall? Are they awake? Are they catatonic? Are they having a heart attack? Are their blood sugar bad or whatever? You can monitor all
this. You can. One of the great things about this is in
Dr. Trin's playing with your thing. He loves it.
It tells me it's time to eat a bowl of pho.
Pho.
I'll get you one.
Oh, yeah.
So what we really are trying to do is we're trying to incorporate the remote community.
That's
with
Vietnamese noodle soup for those of you.
And it's delicious.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
So what I'm trying to say is that we are creating a community at home.
Yes.
And their caregivers, their family members, their loved ones are involved. And so
what a perfect connection. Here you've got this crazy guy who runs across countries and attracts a ton of attention.
Who happens to be of Medicare age.
Happens to be of Medicare age. I mean, thought about that, right? And you're going to strap him up. Have you ever been strapped before, Stan? Or have you done this on your own? Have you ever been monitored before?
I have, but this one, with the compactness and without all this big bulk and junk all over you.
Yeah.
You take, for instance, a pair of shoes I'm wearing. It's 5 ounces lighter than the ordinary shoe.
Wow.
Reducing one ounce off your shoe saves your leg
Dr.
lift.
Dr. Trent's finding
ton.
All the toys I have hidden all over the studio.
So
I have little crazy toys everywhere here.
We got this kind of monitoring that's just negligible, and I can have the best care. And it makes sense that I'm involved with them, and it makes sense that they're involved
to
with
to
me.
Them right there. All right, so what a perfect partnership. How did you find him?
So my business partner, Abby, became a very dear friend of his.
Another fortuitous kind of happenstance,
exactly.
Right?
And the story goes like this. About a year and a half ago, they got to speaking and she said, I'd like to give you a boon. And she said, what do you want to do? And he said, I want to run again.
And you said, you're too old. You can't do it. You're too old. Knock it off.
Let me tell you something about that.
Come on.
About that. This is a true story. True story. Is it okay?
Yes.
Can I have a time?
Yes.
Okay. My granny, my grandma Cottrell, we called her Manny. And she had been a widow woman for about 15 years. That's a widow woman.
Yeah.
And
we'll have subtitles to all this.
Okay,
most
thank
people
you so
understand
much.
This
but anyway, Granny had been a widow for 15 years, and she got struck on this man that was 96 years old,
ooh,
Bill Kaysinger. Well, Mammy had 12 kids, 4 sons and 8 daughters. They all convened, and I was there. I was there when this happened. And that Mammy, Mama, please, this man's too old for you.
Yeah.
You have no business getting married. And my granny turned around and she says, now let me tell you little sillies one thing. If I want to get married, that's my business.
That's
it's none of yours, so butt out. And she says, you're talking about that man being too old? She says, let me tell you something right now. You can't look at a bullfrog's butt and tell how far that thing can jump. And he's still got a lot of jump left in him.
And look at his butt.
A lot of jump.
And I'm telling you, all of us has got a lot of jump left in us, baby. I have just barely scratched the surface of human potential.
Why?
It's 78. It's 78. Where are the limits? There aren't any.
There aren't any limits.
Do you get attention along the way? I mean, do local newspapers pick up on the story?
They really do. I made page three on a local newspaper just the other day.
Local evening news.
Television interviews.
Yeah.
And are there opportunities for folks to come and run with you?
Absolutely. Good point.
Hey,
you're going to like this.
Yeah.
If you go to a professional football game, they got all these guards. You can see the players out there. Hey, there's number 19. Yo,
right.
Dude. He
right.
won't even look at you. You can go to a baseball game. Guards all around.
Oh, yeah.
Me?
Up close.
You can get to me. You can come and have a carload of people. You can be sitting there. Do you mind if I run with you? Join the band. Come on, baby.
Hey,
and
ladies.
We exchange. It's up close and personal.
I'll bet there are, do young ladies offer proposals to you? Do you get crazy things? Do you have fans,
Lord,
and fanatics?
I'm telling you, that's another story.
I'm ready to listen to that one.
You know, yeah. They want to meet you. They want to know you. You're famous
they
now. They want to ride
you.
Along. Oh, yeah. I'll bet, because once you get celebrity, people come out of the woods, and then they all want to be part of that.
They want to run with Stan.
And for one moment in time, we all find significance, and our worlds are changed forever. When I was growing up, I felt like I was a nobody
right.
on the backside of a place going nowhere. And I try to leave that feeling
right.
that you are somebody, you are significant.
Amen.
So we got to wrap this up, unfortunately, because I got another show coming up here. We're going to find this at, let me see if I read this. This is
FriendshipSportsAssociation.org.
FriendshipSportsAssociation.org.
I wish we could put that to music. FriendshipSportsAssociation.org.
FriendshipSportsAssociation.org.
And this is how they can learn more about you and the run.
It's going to be an adventure.
Track him through there.
Yes.
So when does this run start?
Friday.
May 7th.
His birthday is on Friday. He's running on his birthday.
And where do you start and where do you end?
I start in Los Angeles.
But I mean, where? If people want to come out and cheer you on, do you start down at the pier? Do you start at your house? Do you start someplace?
Go to FriendshipSportsAssociation.org because I'm just the runner.
Yeah, we got to have a crowd.
We got to run that way.
Got to have 100 people standing around saying, go, Stand, go, or something.
That's the plan.
And then where do you come out? Where do you anticipate ending? At the Capitol, so right up to the Capitol steps.
Yeah. Washington, D.C.
Well, we got to get Joe Biden to come out and say hi to you. We got to get senators to come out and support you. Because here's my take on it, and I'll end with this, because unfortunately we could have you go on forever. I want you to come back when it's over, that's for sure.
Do you promise?
I promise. Yes. We got to have you come back when it's over. But I support you. I applaud you. I'm in awe of you. I can't understand it, but I believe it. Just listening to you, I believe it.
Has this been a good time for you?
It has been, because
a professional here?
Because my wife has this fascination. She said more than once, as she reads about there are people like you that pop up occasionally, never anybody across the country, usually across the state or up the coast or something. And she says, wouldn't that be amazing? I said, you can't do it. And I'm the one saying, you can't do that. Your age, you're not strong enough. You're not tough enough. You haven't trained. Or you're not ready. You can't. You can't. You can't. You can't. This man says, shut up. You can.
You can.
You can do anything.
Go for it. Put yourself in that position for a victory and do it, baby.
And what I love about this is we have...
Visualize, and realize.
There you go.
Wow.
We have all sat through the most amazing thing of journey of our life, this COVID, where we've been shut down and isolated and told to stay home. Stay home, right? All of a sudden, you're saying, get out there and run again.
Open those doors. Pull those drapes back. And let's get the boogie in.
Let's go.
Let's boogie.
Operation Boogie, baby.
Boogie.
All right. And people can support you through this site. They can
donate. Yeah, you're
going to
love that site. They can track you.
Yes.
They can see how your vital signs are.
Yes.
They can see the whole thing, your progress, a little map that shows you, because you got a little beacon. You're the beacon of hope crossing the country here.
Amen.
And we can track you. And if I'm not brave enough to do this, I can participate on the journey with you here.
Can I leave you with the last thought?
Please. FriendshipSportsAssociation.org. Go.
Yes. Woo, woo, woo. Go, baby.
Woo.
All right. What's the last thought? That's it. Woo, woo, woo. Go.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's
simple.
A thought.
Let's do it.
What do you think, Dr. Trin? Take us out. Of all the tales you brought us so far, this is certainly the most mind-blowing, amazing
I'm
one.
I'm taking us out with woo, woo, woo. Stan, run, Stan.
Stan, run, Stan.
I love y'all. I love you.
Thank you. Well, there you have it. For those who say you can't, there's men like Stan that say, of course you can. You just have to believe. And tune in for some more inspirational health talks here with Dr. Trin each and every week on Orange County's only community radio station, OCTalkRadio.net.